are living in urgent times. If you are living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
I know you see me. I know you hear me, Lord. It is so exciting to be back with you live today after having the beautiful Ann Kashute fill in for me last week. She did a marvelous job with Dr. Carol Houghton, and thank you, Ann, and thank you, Dr. Houghton, for filling in last week on a powerful program on marriage. And today, friends, I tell you this all the time. Get your seatbelts buckled. We have a wonderful guest with us here in the studio today, Mark Griswold, who is the Director of Family Life Ministry and Religious Education at St. Norbert's in Paoli, Pennsylvania. He's spent over 14 years in youth ministry at St. Norbert's. He's the father of four children, and he's married for 19 years. And, oh, we can forgive you for this one. He's a native of New Orleans, Louisiana.
Go Saints.
Go Saints.
Go Saints.
But he is live with us today. And guess what we're going to be talking about? Help me, Lord. My children no longer go to church. So how many times have we heard prayer petitions in our lives and we've asked the Lord, what do we do? You know, what can we do? How can we coach our children back into the arms of Christ? This whole program will be dedicated to help me, Lord. How do I get my children back to church if we are? And I want you to know that we'll probably be opening the lines during this program because it's such a controversial issue. People talk about it. Some people say don't do anything. Others say do something. So I think that it will be incredibly enlightening today.
Absolutely.
For you to hear Mark Griswold. But first, we prayed before the program opened, and I said, Mark, do you have a special scripture? And he goes, yeah, I do. And he's looking at his iPhone or Android. And he said, Galatians 6, well, it's 10, verse 10. And I open my Bible, and here I have it all underlined with duct tape, of course, next to it. But I'm going to read this because this is the scripture that Mark received and wanted to share. And obviously, the Lord wants this shared with someone who is listening today. We must never get tired of doing good, because if we don't give up the struggle, we shall get our harvest at the proper time. While we have the chance, we must do good to all, and especially to our brothers in the faith. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Mark, here we go.
Here we go.
We're riding side saddle.
Let's
and,
do it.
You know, it's a hot topic.
It really is.
And people need to know, how would you want to begin with, help me, Lord? You know, my children don't go to church anymore. We have listeners and callers from children who are teenagers to those in their 50s to 70s. They
Absolutely.
Don't go to church anymore. What is your response to this?
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Ann, because it's true. It's probably one of the biggest prayer petitions we ever hear from people. Could you please pray? You know, my children are no longer interested in going to church. They don't practice their faith anymore. It's not important to them, you know, in some way, shape, or form. And it really touches people on many levels. And probably everyone who, you know, faithfully practices their faith has someone in their family, whether it's a child or a sibling or a relative, who has fallen away or is no longer practicing. So it really does hit home, you know, for people, you know.
Well, your title switched.
Yes.
You worked with teens.
That's right.
For 14 years.
That's right.
And now you're the Director of Family Life Ministry and Religious Education.
Yes.
So obviously you went from the teens to now families.
Mm-hmm.
So you must hear this cry of the heart quite
Absolutely.
Often.
Absolutely, Anne. And it's exciting. It's I loved the years of parish youth ministry that I did, but I'm excited about the possibilities of ministering to families, because we really want families to come together and embrace the faith, you know, to grow together in their faith in Christ and their love for their Catholic faith. We want them to grow together so that it really becomes a lifelong journey from, you know, cradle to grave for everyone in the family. And so I believe the church needs to make that investment in family life. How do we help families really embrace their call as families of disciples, you know, so that the children see that being lived out in the parents and in the home, and in, it becomes part of their life, you know, and they grow up down the road and it's so ingrained in them, so ingrained that it's hard for them to walk away with that, because it's who they are. It's their identity on the deepest level, because that was really lived out in those years of nurture and growing up in the home. And that's really we need to focus as a church on helping our families thrive.
So this is part of your ministry.
Yes.
It's the formation of families in their faith.
That's right.
So this isn't an issue down the road.
That's right.
But talk about the people who've gone to Catholic grade school, high school, and even college,
mm-hmm.
and have lost their faith.
Well, you know, and there's so many reasons, you know, why that happens, right? The multitudes of reasons why people fall away. You know, we see, you know, people who have grown up as Catholics, like you said, through grade school, high school, even Catholic college. And then they move on and, you know, and they get out into the world and they get jobs and they start a family. And the pressures of our society today, you know, and what I call, not what I call, but what many call like a creeping secularism in our society that doesn't place a value on faith and on a relationship with God, but the values of the culture that are sometimes antithetical to that, where the value is more on work and success and just tangible happiness here on earth, right? And so we've lost that kind of societal support system for raising people in the faith, for families of faith. And, you know, we really have to try to get back to that as much as possible, that we live in a place where people feel supported in their faith, where they have a community that they can rally with and rally around, that support them and lift them up and help them to grow, to form those networks of faith where people can be encouraged to live it, because that's really not present in our world today.
Yeah, you know? I live in a neighborhood of an amazing parish and parishes surrounding us,
mm-hmm.
and wonderful Catholic professionals,
mm-hmm.
that are 30s, 40s, and mostly 30s, 40s. They simply have abandoned their faith,
mm-hmm.
and they shove their children off, and I say shove, mm-hmm. off to CCD or PrEP, as mm-hmm. they call it in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
but they don't go to church. And
right.
the kids are expected
right.
to go through formation to the to confirmation,
mm-hmm.
and then they don't go to church.
Right.
So what is your solution?
So, I mean, I see that too in my current role, you know, and, you know, thanks be to God. I think that there are families that are trying to do that. Again, as I mentioned before, it's hard. It's a challenge in the current culture today, especially when you see, you know, even on Sundays, on the weekends, families are filled with busy activities. I mean, there was a time probably in our lives, in our culture, and I even remember it, and I'm, you know, I'm not that old, but, you know, I'm in my 40s, but I remember a time when Sundays were a slower day, you know, that it was a day where your family went to church together. You had a big meal together as a family. It was a day of rest. There wasn't a lot going on activity-wise. And that's not true anymore. So, you know, kids that play sports, they've got sporting events all day on a Sunday. It's the one time that, you know, parents have in the busy, crazy week to go to the grocery store, you know, grab what they need to get the week started and get things planned. And it's not easy to kind of say, wait a minute, Sunday is a day that we need to focus on the Lord, you know, and that we're called as Catholics to, you know, to worship Him. We're commanded to be in church, you know, to be in His presence, to worship Him, to rest in His presence. And so our culture, again, doesn't support that. So I always try to stay positive, you know, that the families that are still going through PrEP, through CCD, getting their kids there, that they at least they're making that effort. They're doing what they can to keep their children and they, as a family, connected to the life of the parish. Do 100% go to Mass every week? Probably not. But I think the more and more we gently encourage, we gently invite, we reach out, we let people know that it'll benefit them, it'll be a blessing for their family life to worship together on a regular basis, then I think people will come to that realization more and more. But it has to be a constant reminding and call and invitation, I believe, to families.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're hearing the voice of Mark Griswold. He is the Director of Family Life, Ministry, and Religious Education at St. Norbert's in Paoli, Pennsylvania. He spent over 14 years in youth ministry there as well. He's a father of four, and he's married for 19 years. And I have to take a breath. He is a native of New Orleans, Louisiana.
Indeed.
Go Saints, he will say. You know, we're talking about, what do we do? You know, help me, Lord. My children don't go to church. So let's move forward a little bit to those children that are married.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps someone is listening now. They may be praying the rosary every day as a grandmom or a mom, saying, I just want my son or my daughter to go back to church. They've abandoned the faith, a lot of family members, and so many heartfelt calls come through from listeners here saying, I just want my family to go back to church. What is your advice to them?
Well, you know, the first person I think of when you say that, Anne, is St. Monica, right? You know, many of us know the story of her son, St. Augustine, now doctor of the church, one of the greatest minds that our church has ever produced, right? But how many years did he turn away from God, from the faith of his mother, you know, his Catholic faith, and he rejected it, and he went diametrically the opposite direction. But St. Monica prayed. She prayed. She never gave up hope, you know, and we know that the tears of St. Monica were efficacious prayers, because we know that God our Father saw those tears. He saw that heart of prayer that Monica held and the hope that she held out in her heart. And I truly believe that it was those tears and those prayers offered daily on behalf of her son, St. Augustine, that brought him back, that eventually brought him back. But it wasn't until later in life that happened. And so I would say, you know, always, we always have recourse to prayer, always. And in prayer, we have hope. You know, God, that's where the Lord pours out that beautiful gift and virtue of hope in our lives through prayer. And that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. So if there's anyone listening right now that may have an older child that has fallen away and you're pouring out your heart to God, you know, begging, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope, because God hears your prayers. And I believe those prayers are efficacious and will make a difference.
I remember a teaching from Monsignor John Essef from Scranton, Pennsylvania, who shared the power of the sacrament of baptism. And when a parent or a loved one is in despair over someone they're praying about, call upon that baptismal vow.
Beautiful.
To call upon the sacrament of baptism, to let it be reignited in the soul of the individual who has lost hope in God.
That's right.
And I've seen it on two different occasions, two different occasions that the soul just didn't care about the Lord anymore. And so a team of people started praying for the sacrament of baptism to be reignited in this individual, and it happened.
Absolutely. And you know, I would say also we have recourse to Our Lady,
yes.
You know, our beautiful Blessed Mother, who, you know, she knows what it means to be a parent, right? And so she understands that, and she sees our hearts when we pray for our children and when we lift them. And she unites, you know, with us in that prayer, and our prayer goes through her most pure Immaculate Heart, you know, straight to the ears of her son, right? And so we need to turn to Our Lady and remember the power of the rosary, you know, those rosaries that we offer on behalf of our children are powerful, you know, beyond, you know, and oftentimes if you're like me, Anne, you want that prayer answered by tomorrow morning, right? You know, okay, Lord, you know, let's get this now answered. And, you know, with God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So, you know, in that economy of salvation, right, we know that when we pray now, that the Lord hears our prayers. And if we're praying, thy will be done according to his will, we know that it's done, right? We know in faith that it's done. Now we need to ask the Lord to help us to wait in faith upon that reality. So let's not lose hope in praying for our children. There is always, always hope, you know.
I hope you're hearing that, friends, that there is always, always hope, and that Our Lady is with you.
That's right.
In this journey. Well, I have to ask you, let's put a scenario together.
Okay.
Joe Smith and his family walk in to you as the director of religious education and family life ministry. And he says, I have a real problem with the Catholic faith.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Have you ever had that?
On a couple occasions, yes, we've seen that.
And what is your immediate response?
Well, you know, obviously, I love my Catholic faith, so, you know, I guess it's easy to just react to that, you know? But what I've found is oftentimes people just want someone to listen to them, you know? And I have to really, in those situations, just open my ears and let them say what's on their heart, what has upset them, what has caused them to doubt, what has caused them pain, in their experience of the faith, and to really, maybe I'm the first person that they've ever expressed that
right.
to. And I think it's important for me to listen, to hear them out, and to not respond, negatively to that, but to really listen and to be understanding in those situations. Because the reality is, Anne, all of us probably at some point in our life have been wounded in some way, by not necessarily by the church and by her beautiful teachings, or by the gospel, but by the very sinful human beings that make up the church, right? And so we're all sinners, and oftentimes things are done that do hurt people and push people away. And we need to, as kind of agents of the faith, to be that hand stretched out to listen and to offer comfort and possibly a word of healing and a word of forgiveness too. You know, I think if someone has been hurt, I think it's important when I listen to that to apologize oftentimes on behalf of the church, for that pain that's been caused, and to know that that they have someone who wants to encourage them and welcome them back again, in some way, shape, or form.
I just heard, I believe it was last week, that there is a statistic stating that 85% of people who have gone through all the sacraments up to confirmation no longer go to church.
Wow.
And that the only way they come back is through the experience of their father.
Yes. Yeah. And this is so crucial. And this is something that I try to express in my ministry to people as often as possible. Because you're right. There have been a number of national studies done on faith and religion. And the effect of faith life in the family, especially. And for those families that are intact families, where there are mother and father still present, time and time again, studies have shown that in homes where the father is engaged in his faith, right, and living his faith faithfully and is demonstrative about it, is kind of that witness to the children of prayer and faithfulness, that the chances of the child becoming an adult and still practicing the faith are through the roof, right? I mean, there's a correlation between the faith of dad and the faith of children as they grow. And that obviously does not lessen the faith of the mother as well. But in intact families, especially where the father is really living out the faith, children see that, right? They witness that, and they see strength in that. They gain strength from the figure of the Father turning to our Heavenly Father as guide and lead. And then even more so in those intact families where mother and father together are striving to build that domestic church, to help the children live out the faith and be that example and that witness to their kids. Again, we give our kids a greater chance as they mature and as they grow of continuing to live that out in their own lives. So if there are any dads listening now, be encouraged, and know that you have a tremendous amount of authority and power of witness in the way that you live and embrace the faith and the Lord in your life. So don't discount that. Don't discount that at all.
Why don't you tell our listeners, Mark, how if a father is driving down the Schuylkill Expressway today and he's thinking, I need to be a better father. Mm-hmm. I need to be more of an example to my children. What's the starting point, Mark, for dad?
Right. Well, you know, there's always things as dad, I'm a dad, you know, and there's always things that I need to work on, things that I can do better, things that I could, you know, I didn't do so good yesterday and I need to do better yes. tomorrow. And I think, you know, for me, it's staying in touch with trying to be the best version of myself. You know, Lord, you've made me a father. You know, you've called me to be a husband and father. How can I do that better? You know, every single day, and really bringing that to prayer. You know, Lord, show me those areas of weakness that I need to work on. Help me to do better. Give me the grace that I need, God, to live out what you're calling me to live out as a dad. And we have recourse as you know, as dads to the sacrament of reconciliation, you know, which I avail myself of often.
Yes.
You know, I go there and I, you know, and I'll confess that I haven't been as loving as I should be towards my kids, or as good of a husband, you know, that I should be. So I go to that sacrament and I receive the grace in the sacrament to then go back and try again and to do better the next time. And then I fall again and I go back again to the mercy of God to help me. So I would say to my fellow dads and fathers that are listening, you know, there's always a chance to do better. You know, our Lord is a God of second chances. So may we be messed up today. Tomorrow's a new day. And we begin again. We pick ourselves up, but we avail ourselves of all the gifts and graces that God has for us in the sacraments, you know, in Eucharist, in reconciliation, and we stay close to the Lord as dads, and that will make a difference. That will make a difference.
I think it's important before the end of the program if we lay out a template for everyone who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the starting point, and this is where the Lord would like you to go. And sometimes our listeners just, they're tuning in a little bit later.
Right.
And I think that if we lay out a little simple template to follow, we think and we take these things for granted.
Right.
But there are people that have absolutely no catechesis at all, nor understanding of the journey of faith in their family or within their own life.
Right.
Well, after the half hour, we're going to open the lines up, Mark.
Okay.
If our listeners would like to speak directly with Mark, he's the guy. He's the guy today. I'm going to give you the phone number. It's 610-527-2906. It's 610-527-2906 or 1-888-34-FAITH. That's 1-888-34-FAITH. You're listening to Thy Will Be Done. I'm Ann McGlone, and our special guest today is Mark Griswold. And we're talking about Help Me, Lord.
Help Me, Lord.
Help Me, Lord. My children no longer go to church. So it could be someone who's 15 or 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. Mark is here to help you, to answer some questions if you like. He's had this journey. I mean, working with teens for 14 years is a long time, and you still look very young, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Well, let's keep it that way.
Yes. I mean, after working with teens, I'm sure they gave you life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's youth ministry is such a life-giving thing to do, you know, and it did keep me young. So.
Oh, well. And also, as a father of four, you're not the perfect dad. No one is perfect. And to share some of your spiritual journey in the next couple minutes of how you've become Mark, the Director of Religious Education. Not so interested in the title, but the Mark that your wife knows and your children know, your evolution of faith.
Wow, okay. Well, I grew up in a Catholic home. I was the youngest of seven children. I actually grew up, my youngest years were in rural Arkansas, believe it or not. But I spent most of my young life in New Orleans after my dad, his job was transferred down there. But I was the youngest of seven. I had an Italian mother who actually immigrated from Italy, and my father, who was from the States, and she moved here and married, and they settled there. And so I grew up in a Catholic home, and we belonged to a very small Catholic parish in rural Arkansas. I mean, not many Catholics where we lived. It was mostly, Baptists and Methodists surrounding us. So it was a unique thing to be Catholic in that little small town. But we had a very tight-knit and close community. And really, I'd say that my journey of faith began there in that little small parish. I was an altar boy, went to Sunday school, had a dynamic priest at the time when I was young, who would engage us. Like during his homilies, he would ask us questions about scripture and about the Bible, and I'd raise my hand during church. It was very, very laid back. We were such a little church. But I always, as far back as I can remember, Anna, I had a love for God, and I can't even say that was really like super demonstrative in our family. You know, we prayed grace before meals, so on and so forth, but it really wasn't all consuming. You know, I can't say that it was, but it did make an impact on me, that little Catholic. And then we moved to New Orleans, and which is a very Catholic town.
Yes,
if you've ever
yes.
been there, it's kind of Catholicism is part of the culture there, and it was kind of a new place to be. And the Catholic faith was very alive when we went there. And I went to Catholic elementary school, all boys Catholic high school, and through those years, my faith continued to be nurtured and to grow. I was eventually had an experience of attending a charismatic prayer meeting at my parish, which for me was very transformative in many ways, where I can say that I had my first personal encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, I'd always believed in him. I always knew that he was real. I always had this faith. But I don't think until I was in mid-high school that I really had an encounter with him. And I was like, wow, Jesus, you are real. And you know me, and you're here with me, and you walk with me every day, and you're in my heart. And I really attribute that to the power of the Holy Spirit at work in me. And so after high school, I had the opportunity to attend a wonderful Catholic college, Franciscan University of Steubenville in Steubenville, Ohio, which, if any of our listeners know about it, is a vibrantly Catholic college. And again, my faith was nurtured and increased, and it grew. So and that's where I met
the love of your life.
The love of my life, right? Exactly. My wife hailed from South Florida. I was from Louisiana. We became great friends in college. I graduated 2 years before she did. I went back home to teach Catholic high school. I was a theology teacher. My wife graduated. She moved to New Orleans at the time. And then eventually we began to date and became engaged. And we're married, and since then, you know, for almost 25 years now, I've been involved in pastoral ministry and work with young people. I'm also a musician, do music ministry. So my life has really revolved around church ministry and the work and pastoral ministry.
Well, that's only the tip of the iceberg with this with this wonderful man. We're gonna take a little break,
okay.
Mark,
mm-hmm.
And then when we come back, if you'd like to speak with Mark, if there's an issue with someone in your family or a friend, give us a call at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. We'll be back after this break.
My name is Mario Diadamo, and I have been a faithful listener to InnerSign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Proclaiming Christ through Catholic Radio. That's what this apostolate is about. And friends, I want you to pass the word along. The 40th anniversary celebration is coming up for this apostolate. It will be Sunday, April 30th at Malvern Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Sunday, April 30th from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. Don't miss it. A lot of surprises will be happening. Again, we ask that you support the apostolate by joining Kathleen McCarthy and all her friends, and a few surprises for the 40th anniversary celebration at Malvern Retreat House. Mark your calendar, Sunday, April 30th. Proclaiming Christ through Catholic Radio. That's the theme, Proclaiming Christ through Catholic Radio. If you're just tuning in, our special guest today on Thy Will Be Done is Mark Griswold. He smiles. People generally don't like when I say who they are. But Mark is the Director of Family Life, Ministry, and Religious Education at St. Norbert's in Paoli, Pennsylvania. And he has spent over 14 years in youth ministry as well, a father of four and married for over 19 years and a native of New Orleans, Louisiana. And we're talking about children from teen years to elderly, you know, not going to church. They lost their faith. Mm-hmm. And as we shared before the program, so many people believe that it's a lost cause. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of some people in nursing homes that listen, and their children no longer go to church nor believe in God. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about all these programs, these wonderful programs at your parish. And I'm thinking of particularly two or three people that listen that are in nursing homes. Mm-hmm. And they're just dying. They're spiritually dying in the nursing home, not knowing what to do, where to go. And they want their son or daughter or grandchildren to go back to church. And they have no connection. So what would you say to that person, Mark?
Well, I think, you know, it's important to, you know, obviously we said earlier, we talked a lot about prayer, you know, not lose heart in prayer, but also to, you know, as much as possible, you know, you can give information to your loved ones, to your family members that you're praying for about great opportunities that exist in local parishes, you know, in the archdiocese that you live in, to help people reconnect with their faith. You know, we've seen some great kind of campaigns like Catholic Coming Home, you know. We've seen some of the commercials even, you know, on church sometimes. And I think those can be effective for those who may be away from the church, and there might be a seed of openness in them to kind of rediscover, reconnect. If it's a situation where your son or daughter, your loved one, has been hurt in some way by the church, maybe you can be a word of encouragement to them to maybe make an appointment with, the priest at their local parish, or a priest that they may have not, that they liked, but they haven't seen in many years. Maybe to just to sit down with them to talk and to talk out those issues that have kept them away from the faith for some time. Again, sometimes people walk away for various and different reasons, and they don't know how to come back. Like, it's like, wait, I've been away for so long.
Right. They don't know how to come back.
They don't know how to come back. So maybe, as you're praying for them, as you're encouraging them, giving them some prompts, some things they can do. Oh, did you hear about, that great, talk they're having at, St. Anne's, mm-hmm. on Wednesday night, talking about, what it means to be Catholic, or so on and so forth. I will say that at our parish, Anne, we have had much success with a program called Alpha. And, Alpha is it's called a basic course in the Christian faith. But we started this program several years ago, and really it's a very unassuming program. It invites people to come, come reconnect with your faith. And many of the people that come are still practicing their faith, but they kind of want to go back to basics mm-hmm. somewhat. But it's a great program for someone who's been away from the church for many years to come. And it starts with, it's a series of 11 or 12 weeks. And each night is, there's a dinner that is available for the guests that come. So a time to get to know people, kind of connect with people. And then there's a video presentation, and the topics start, very simply. Like, the first week is, who is God, at a very basic level. So maybe someone is just feeling distant and disconnected from even understanding what the faith is about. And they just need to be reintroduced to some of the more basic concepts of Christianity. And so a program like Alpha, or there are many programs similar to it that are out there, have been very effective in reconnecting people. And then I would say, I think many people are just looking for connection and community.
Mm, yes.
And so the more that our parishes, our church organizations can do to foster a spirit of welcome and community, to invite people to come be a part of a family of faith, and know that you're not just a number, or you're not just someone, receiving an envelope in the mail, for your donations, but that our parish communities can be a place of just great community and connection and meeting people and finding people in similar circumstances as your own. And so, again, if you're praying for a loved one, you have a son and daughter, let them know about opportunities that are going on in the church today for them to reconnect. Stay on top of that. You be aware of that. And drop those subtle invitations and hints when you talk to them. Oh, by the way, and don't be heavy-handed about it, Well, you should do this, Well,
say that again. Because I'm the type of mom that would do that. You should do this.
It's easy.
Okay.
Right.
Tell our listeners, should we do that? So I am the kind of Irish mom that says, should do this.
Yes.
What do you say?
So I say, your kids, right? So,
yeah.
Use your best judgment in how you present that to them. What's the best way? You should, or, hey, how about this? Or think about this if you get a chance.
No,
or,
wait. Do you
maybe,
really do that?
Well, no.
I want your wife to call in.
She's like, no, he doesn't do that. But, let's say I'm striving to do that a little bit more. And again, all of us can be more invitational in the ways we do things. And so, not coming across heavy-handed, but inviting, And maybe it's just giving them a pamphlet. That's all you say. Hey, here, read that when you get a chance. And, we can be gentle, what does scripture say? Be wise as serpents gentle as doves, right?
Yes,
that's, use our wisdom, but do it gently, because sometimes, oftentimes people balk at, the shouldas and the ought tos and things like that, but they're more open to that gentle, loving invitation. Even as a parent, I'm going to this talk, invite your child, come with me, let's go to dinner before, and then I'd love for you to just come and join me for this talk at the parish, or won't you join me for Mass this week? It'd be very special if you can come. And maybe they don't go back the next week, but maybe they do, right? So these little opportunities to invite. And as I'm talking to you, Anne, I'm thinking, you know, oftentimes we our churches are packed at Christmas and Easter, right?
Right. Okay. We see that.
And we see that quite often at these big celebrations in our parish communities. And, you know, sadly, I think sometimes people balk at that, you know, especially the regulars who are there every single week. It's like, oh, I can't get a parking space today because so many people are here at church, right?
Yes.
Instead of seeing that as a wonderful gift and a wonderful opportunity, right. You know, they're here, they're worshiping with us tonight. And allowing those moments to be touch point moments, mm-hmm. of welcome, of invitation, of rejoicing, right? Rejoicing because, you know, the Lord is happy that they're there.
And, of course
and,
he is.
And he's rejoicing in that. So, you know, that's another opportunity right then and there in that time of celebration to kind of reach out to our loved ones and kind of invite them, include them, and let them know that they're part.
But not to do the heavy-handed, you need to go to church or you're not going to heaven. Does that sound familiar, friends?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've all done it, right? You know, we've all done it, you know. And I think that's probably not always the best way to do it, you know. So.
No, but, I mean, that's the generation that I was raised in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we didn't have a choice.
Right.
Sunday morning, 9:30 children's mass. We loaded in the car, and we didn't have Saturday evening mass growing up. But there wasn't a choice. And even when in high school and college, we didn't have a choice.
Right.
I was told by my Irish mom and dad, mm-hmm. if you're living in this house, you're going to church.
Right. Right.
And I don't think that was so wrong.
Well, and I agree with you. I mean, you know, it's you know, there's certain non-negotiables in your family, right? So it's not an argument that they have to get up and brush their teeth and, you know, put their clothes away and clean their rooms. You know, we have all these expectations that we have on our kids. Well, it's perfectly okay to have an expectation that your child worships with your family on a regular basis. And that's who you are as a family. That's your identity. That's, you know, and so I think it's, and I have encountered that on many occasions where parents, even of younger kids, mostly teenagers, you know, when they get into the teenage years, well, I don't want to push them. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to like force them to go to mass if they don't want to. And I really kind of come back to that and I say, you know what, but you're still the parent and they are still your child. And that's an expectation. And you know that the reality is them being at Mass and receiving Holy Eucharist and being in the presence of the Lord is doing a world of good for their souls, you know. And, you know, more than the temporal needs of my kids, I want them to know the Lord and have that relationship with Him and one day be with Him in heaven, you know. And as a parent, you know, I'm going to be called to accountability before God in how I tried to bring my children to Him, right? And so as parents, we need to take that responsibility very seriously. Now, when they leave the home, you know, when they're no longer under our roof, you know, it's more up to them and the choices that they make and the decision that, you know, we can't force them at that point when they're grown adults. But when they're children, we really do have a responsibility as parents to make sure that they are being nurtured spiritually in the faith, you know, and every opportunity that we can have to bring them to Jesus, that we're taking that opportunity as parents and not shirking that responsibility at all.
Well, I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
I feel a lot better because my children, once they went to college, you know, when they went away, their faith, what they did with their faith, it was, they were on their own, but they maintained their faith, and thank God.
Amen. Yeah.
Thank God, because some of that Irish was passed down to them. Like, you live here, and if you commute to college, you still have to go to church.
That's right, that's right.
If you commute to college.
That's right.
But I see so many parents and well-educated professionals saying to their children, oh, they'll find their faith on their own. I'm not going to force it. That's the new mentality.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's really important as parents to pass the faith on to our kids. And, you know, and the church talks about that. I mean, in the documents of Vatican II, it uses the term the domestic church. Mm-hmm. That's what we're called to, that our homes, our families are on a microcosm of the wider universal church. And it's really that place where the faith is lived out 24/7 on a day-to-day basis. So that's our call as families, to be that domestic church, to be that place of where our kids are immersed in the faith, you know? And there's so many ways to grow in that vision as a family, little things that you can do, you know?
Tell us.
You know, so in our family growing up, you know, it's a tradition at the center of our home, we have a family altar, right? You know, we have a Bible, we have a candle, we've got, you know, holy objects, we've got holy water, we've got a crucifix hanging on the wall right behind it, a statue of Our Lady. We have pictures of the saints. So we try to create an environment in our home where our Catholic faith is visible, where it's seen, so that every day I know that my children see that. It's part of their experience, and it's tactile, and they see it and they know it. We've always tried to celebrate not only birthdays in our home, but saints' feast days that our children are named after, right? So my oldest son is Robert. So on the feast of St. Robert, we try to do something special, whether it's a treat or a special dinner of his choice, or, you know, and I have a Patrick. So on St. Patrick's Day, which, of course, everybody's celebrating, but we'll do something a little bit extra special for him on that day. As well, my daughter Abigail, her middle name is Therese, and so we named her after the little flower Jesus. So on October 1st, right, we do something really special. And then my youngest is John Paul, he's real proud because his full name is John Paul Dominic, so he gets a feast day on St. John Paul's Day and St. Dominic's Day. So he likes, but you know, little things like that are so important for our kids. To see and to know that our faith can affect our daily life and be a part of who we are, you know, or times of prayer together as a family, times we pray the family rosary together. You know, Father Patrick Payton, you know, the family prays together, stays together. But that's so true. That is so true. And I think there are many, many countless numbers of people that can say that it was prayer together as a family that really kept them bonded and together. And so, you know, so little things we can do in our home just to raise the profile of faith in our house and to be that domestic church.
I love that. Raise the profile of faith in your home.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful book you should write.
Raise the profile of faith.
No, I love that. Raise the profile of faith in the home. Yeah. To me, that's the prescription that you're sending forth as a result of this radio program. Raise the profile of faith.
Right, and I think it's the antidote to the secular world that they go out into every day, you know, and that they come home, and home is that refuge, that place of, you know, where they know that the Lord is present and they can encounter and rest and be built up again and be strengthened and encouraged to go back out into the world, you know, that can be challenging from time to time for our kids.
And if people only realize the power of the sacraments, the power of the sacraments, my friends, in healing your family.
Absolutely.
You know, the sacrament of reconciliation for the hurts of your family, the hurts of your heart, not just for sin, but the hurts.
Right.
It's a healing balm. And then Eucharist, to receive the Eucharist as much as possible.
Yes.
Perhaps you can't go every day. Maybe you could spend 5 minutes in adoration at a local parish.
That's
allow
right.
Jesus to radiate his love into your wounds.
That's right. Amen. Yeah.
But that to me is the solution for bringing our children and our families back to church, is raising the level of faith. That, I love that.
That's right. Raising the level of faith. And, you know, and maybe someone's listening right now, Anne, that feels like, well, I didn't do that. You know, my kids are grown and they're feeling maybe a sense of regret. I could have done more. I could have done better. And, you know, our Lord, he's the God of the present. You know, he doesn't want us to live in the past. He doesn't want us to be bound by the past. He wants us to be free in the present and know that, you know, maybe we didn't do it right before, but today's a new day. And maybe you're thinking, wow, my kids are grown now. I can't have that same effect. But remember, and we said this earlier, the power of prayer, you know, to really make that impact. And you know, and you can start today just bringing them to the Lord, placing them in his presence every single day and say, Lord, just lead them back to you. Bring them back to you. They're yours. You love them even more than I do. You know, we forget that. We forget that as parents.
He loves us more than we could.
That the Lord loves our kids even more, and he loves them perfectly.
Right.
And we love them imperfectly, you know, in our sinfulness. But our Lord loves our kids so perfectly. And so the more and more we bring them to him and place them in his sacred heart, right?
Yes.
You know?
And enthrone your homes to the Sacred Heart.
Yes,
and your families.
Absolutely.
Because of the promises of the Sacred Heart.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I'm thinking today that this is a message of hope for those who have no hope, who feel lost. I mean, you're watching the news and you're saying, I don't know how my kids are going to live their faith or how you're going to live your faith. And you just heard what Mark said about the altar that he has in his home and how to build that level of faith and the power of the sacraments. It's not so hard, my friends. It's not so hard to have hope and for the Lord to be present. Just ask him.
It really isn't. And, you know, I think sometimes parents feel a little bit unequipped to do this.
They do.
Right? And so, but I like what you said. It's not that hard. You know, sometimes we make it more difficult than it needs to be. And what's beautiful about now is we have so many resources available to us as parents. I mean, the internet is just a treasure trove of resources to help us as parents in building that domestic church. There's wonderful websites out there. You can just go online and Google, you know, building the domestic church or faith activities in the home. I mean, just simple searches will lead you to so many great ideas. And oftentimes in my ministry now, in Family Life Ministry, I will send out newsletters and email blasts to my parents, and I'll give them just some links. Here's a great website for you to for this week to go visit. It'll give you some ideas for some things that you can do in your home to, again, raise the profile of faith in the house and on that level of faith lived out every day. So it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be something as simple as, you know, before bed that we take just 5 minutes. What, you know, kids, what do you want to thank God for today? How did God bless you today? What do you want to ask God for before we go to bed? And you pray that Our Father and that Hail Mary before they go to bed, and it's done. Anybody can do that. That's simple. And it starts simple, Ann. We don't need to overcomplicate it, right?
And if your children are grown, take a picture of your son or daughter or your grandchildren and just pray over that picture.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
And trust them to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Once you entrust anyone to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, all will be well, no matter how desperate or sad you feel today.
That's beautiful.
The Lord will meet you in your encounter with him in a very, very special way. And the enthronement to the Sacred Heart is a whole other program unto itself.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And you know the power of the enthronement. It's not about hanging a picture.
Right.
If you want to bring your children or your grandchildren or your elderly children back to Christ, enthrone your home or your business to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
That's right.
And watch God work. That's my, I love that line. Watch God work.
Watch him do it. That's right. And you know, and we're so blessed in our Catholic faith to have so many devotions like that we can really bring into the life of our family and our home. You know, even something as simple as, you know, Advent, you know, having that Advent wreath and every day, you know, lighting that candle with the children and saying a little prayer in preparation for Christmas. Or maybe there's a little sacrifice during Lent that your whole family does together. There really are many, many ways that we can bring faith into our home, and the richness of our Catholic faith gives us that opportunity to do so.
Well, give our listeners a little bit of advice with Lent coming up.
Oh, yeah.
What's a great medicine for the families who may be hurting, or the grandparents, or again, those who are isolated from their families? What's a great bottle of medicine to give them today, a medicine of faith?
Well, you know, I think, you know, for many people, Lent has a negative connotation.
Oh, I love Lent.
Right? Okay.
Love
well,
Lent.
See, that's good. But I mean, I think some people
yeah.
are like, oh, Lent,
no.
you know, here it comes, the
no
cross,
fish.
Sacrifice. I have to give up meat on Fridays, you know, oh gosh, fasting yes. and all this kind of stuff. And really, we forget about the true gift that Lent is, you know, that time mm-hmm. to kind of detach a little bit from just the craziness of daily life and refocus and recenter on what really matters most, you know, and Lent affords us that opportunity to kind of get back to that center. And so I would say, you know, as families, you know, Lent is kind of that about sacrificial offering and giving. And so, you know, maybe you're interceding for a child that's away from the faith. Maybe during those 40 days of Lent, along with your prayer, you add on a little sacrifice. You know, maybe it is giving up a certain food, but or a certain activity or something that you know that you use daily, or maybe it's less time spent on the internet or on your phone or
yeah.
on social media, and you kind of give that up. But you use that sacrifice specifically as prayer, and you know you make that sacrifice for that specific intention of your child coming back to the faith, your child coming to know the Lord. So never, you know, we cannot undervalue the power of sacrificial prayer. You know, then when we offer that up, you know, our fasting, you know, fasting is such a powerful spiritual thing, you know,
yes.
and some things, you know, the Lord even said that there are some things that can only be affected through fasting,
right?
You know, and we forget the power of fasting to make a difference, to make a change. So, you know, perhaps that's something you haven't done much. So maybe ask the Lord, Lord, can I fast specifically for the intention of my loved one coming back to the faith? And that could be very powerful and very efficacious. If anything, if you don't see the effect of it in them immediately, it might change you on the
That's
inside
right.
even more and be an encouragement in your spiritual life to press on and keep moving forward. So there's so many things, you know, that we can do.
I love this prayer. I wrote it in my duct tape Bible. Every one of us needs a half hour of prayer each day, except when we're busy. Then we need an hour. That's from St. Francis de Sales. I love that. We always say we're too busy to pray. We're too busy to go to church.
Right, right. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. I remember a homily given by the president of Franciscan University when I was a student there. And he said, you know, guys, look at your daily schedule and make sure that prayer is central to what you do. And if your day is busier, then add on a little bit more time
well,
for prayer.
That's St. Francis de Sales.
I know. It seems counterintuitive, but it's true.
Well,
you know,
we thank you for being with us today, Mark Griswold. And,
absolutely.
And we pray that your family and your ministry continue to thrive through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank
and
you.
We pray that our listeners in a very special way were touched by this program. Help me, Lord. My children don't go to church. So we pray that you... We're very touched today by Mark Griswold, and we thank you for taking the time to be with our listeners
thank
today.
Thank you, Anna. It was great being here with you.
Until next week, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady embrace you in the mantle of her heart. God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.
I know you see.